I would like us to turn our attention for a few moments this morning to the famous words of the Apostle Paul found in his first letter to Timothy, chapter 1 and verse 15. In the English Standard Version here, the verse reads, "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost." I don't know about you, but for me, every year, the thought goes through my mind that Christmas is so familiar, and yet it is strangely elusive. I find that to be the case for two reasons, and perhaps you can share these sentiments. First of all, the domestic pressures of the season. The material or commercial aspects that can blunt our spiritual sensitivities. And so as Christians, we come to this season, and I trust we do so with sincerity in our hearts, seeking to glorify our God for what he has done for us, and we hope in us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet so many pressures crowd in upon our minds and our hearts, and before we know it, Christmas is over, and we feel within our own minds and hearts that we have not done justice to the season in our own devotional lives as perhaps we could have or should have. But then there's the mysteries of the historical and theological aspects of the Christmas story. And as much as we try to engage our brains in understanding what God has revealed to us of the incarnation, the nativity of our Lord Jesus in the pages of Scripture, we are dealing with mysteries, and we can only go so far, even if our minds can grasp much that the Bible records of this significant event in the calendar. We somehow feel that we're at the borders of human language when we try to express what it is that we are celebrating when we come to this Christmas season. This time last year, I was given a very useful Christmas present. You will not be surprised to find that it was a book. The book was titled, "This Day in Christian History." And there's an entry for every day of the year, and as I looked at the entry for December the 25th, I found these words: "Whatever the ins and outs of Christmas, one thing is sure, we are still unwrapping the gift of God's Son." If you're a Christian here this morning, you can only go so far in the study of the Incarnation before coming back to its bare essentials, to the statements of Scripture itself. And if, as of yet, I trust, you are not a Christian, that is, you have no relationship with the living God, perhaps this Christmas you may begin to come to a full consideration of just the bare essentials of this Christmas event. So it is for both for the sake of the Christian and for the non-Christian that I focus our attention this morning on 1 Timothy 1 verse 15. "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost." As Christians, we can talk a lot more about the Christmas event than what is found in this text, but at the end of the day, we always come back to a bare essential statement, as is found in Paul's words here. But if you, as of yet, have yet to come into a relationship with the living God, My prayer for you this day is that for the first time you will come to grips with what the Apostle Paul is saying here. I'm not going to detain you long, but I do want to say three things about this saying of the Apostle Paul that's found here in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. Note, first of all, that the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. It has to be said, without being too cynical, that there is not much that is trustworthy in the whole world of information today. We live in an age of cynicism, where there's breakage of verbal agreements, there's breakage of written agreements. I don't know about you, but I grew up in a home where I was always taught to read the small print. Why? Because we live in a context of great distrust. But let's not be too overawed by that, because there is a sense in which we've always lived in a context of distrust. It's part of the human predicament. It's part of the scenario of the fall. And it is for that reason, then, that the Apostle Paul says to his readers, this is a trustworthy saying and deserving of full acceptance. Note that this is the first of five trustworthy sayings in the pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus. It's trustworthy because of the origin of the saying. The saying conveys something that Jesus either said or taught. You may recall when Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees and the scribes on the occasion of the conversion of Levi. He said, I came not to call the righteous, that is those who think they're righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so Paul is summarizing either an explicit statement of the Lord Jesus that's not recorded for us in the Gospels. He's certainly summarizing for us the nutshell of what Jesus was teaching, and he's put it here in this saying, and he's saying to us that this saying is trustworthy because of the origin. It comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you are sitting on the fence this morning and are trying to weigh up as to whether what I am saying is true or not, and perhaps your cynicism is already kicking in, let me say to you this morning that ultimately you are not listening to me. You are not even ultimately listening to the Apostle Paul. You are listening to the Lord Jesus. And what you have to deal with is this, is whether the Lord Jesus Christ is trustworthy and what he said was true, and therefore deserving of full acceptance. So Paul says the saying is trustworthy because of its origin, but he says it's also trustworthy because of its character. Paul was a very intelligent man. In fact, there was some survey done amongst scholars many years ago now, which tried to draw up a list of the most intelligent men that ever lived, women too. The Apostle Paul was up there with the best of them, and this intelligent man, this genius, says to us that it is a considered judgment on his part that when he weighs up all the ideas prevalent in his own society and in the world of the first century, of all the sayings you think of Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, of all the sayings, this saying of the Lord Jesus is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. And you may notice earlier in the chapter, he compares this saying with certain persons who were going about teaching various fables. Verses 3 to 6, he writes, as I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies, which promote speculations rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussion, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions. I say it again, the Apostle Paul, he wasn't living in a vacuum, he wasn't living in a bubble. He looked at all the prevalent sayings that were around, and he saw those closest endangering the church, certain persons who were creating fables. And in contrast to those fables, he says, this is a trustworthy saying and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You see, we live in an age of great doubt and cynicism ourselves. I've mentioned before an article by John Meacham titled The Birth of Christ, published in Newsweek magazine in December 2004. And in this, he writes, to many minds conditioned by the Enlightenment, shaped by science, and all too aware of the Crusades and the corruption of the church, Christmas is a fairy tale. But I want to say to you this morning that for the Apostle Paul and the rest of the apostles, it was no fairy tale. You see, this contemporary idea that it's all a fairy tale belies the discrimination of the apostles, who weighed up all the various sayings around at the time and says, those are fables. This is a faithful, a trustworthy saying, and worthy of all acceptance. And so I'm saying to you this morning, do not diminish the teaching of the Lord Jesus. Do not dumb down the teaching of the Lord Jesus and say, well, you see, we live in a relativistic age whereby Christmas is just one festival amongst many. And Jesus had his word, and other people had their word. And how can we know the truth? Because there is no such thing as truth. That's what we've now discovered. Nonsense. The Apostle Paul says, as one who mingled amongst those who saw the Lord Jesus Christ firsthand and had the opportunity to contrast the teaching and the being of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. And so I ask us today, especially if we do not yet have a relationship with the living God, what are you going to do with this saying? You have, to my mind, three choices. You can either reject the saying outright, and in some ways, if you don't trust in the living God, that's the most intellectually honest position to hold. Or you can say, I receive the saying in my mind, but my heart will not receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And according to the Newsweek edition in December 2004, 67% of Americans say they believe the Christmas story to be historically accurate. I was interested to see on the news this morning that now 64% say it's historically accurate. Or, thirdly, you can receive this saying not only with your head, but with your heart. It is, says Paul, deserving of full acceptance. Secondly, the saying is staggering. What is the saying? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It is such a familiar statement to us, but I put it to you, it is the most staggering statement that could be made. And so, for myself, I have more sympathy for those who come to this statement and say, I understand the weight of the statement, and I just cannot receive it, therefore I reject Christianity, than I do for those who are faced by these words, Christmas in, Christmas out, but never come to grips with how staggering is the message of Christianity. There are four words in this saying that make this saying so staggering. There is the word Christ, a title referring to God's anointed, called of God, Christ did not take up this work by himself, but was divinely called to save sinners. God could have sent an angel, but he sent someone in human flesh, because it was in human flesh that we sinned and fell short of the glory of God. Then there's the word Jesus, the identification of the Christ, the divine Son of God given a human nature. Then there is the word salvation, implied by the name Jesus, which means Savior, but made explicit via the verb to save. Christ, by his life, living out the law, procuring a righteousness wherein we can stand before God. And then on the cross, bearing in his own body the perfect justice of God against sin, for God to be God, he must punish sin. And then the fourth word, sinners. Those lacking conformity to the law of God in thought, word, and deed. Those who fail to love God with all their minds and with all their hearts. You see, this morning, if you are conscious of your humanness at all, you are conscious of the fact that you are a sinner. But you will never come into a relationship with a living God until you know that your sin is not simply a theological fact, it is an affront to God. And you might not take your sin seriously, and I might not take mine seriously. But God evidently takes my sin seriously, and God takes your sin seriously. And so seriously does he take it, that he says, only the commissioning of my Son to come into this world can deal with this most heinous of problems, this greatest of all human predicaments, that the masses have sinned and fallen short of my glory. They were created for higher things, but have fallen short and are living life at a lower level than what was intended for them. This saying, you see, is staggering. But the third thing I want to say to you is this. The saying is meaningful. At least it was meaningful for the Apostle Paul. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then he says, of whom I am foremost, or of whom I am the chief. In other words, the saying becomes meaningful only when we become convicted of our sin. Let me say to you this morning, we have sung hymns of joy, and we have prayed in the spirit of joy, but we have done so on the understanding that the reason for our joy is that having seen that we have fallen short of the glory of God, having come to an understanding that sin is not just a concept, it's a cancer within my very heart, that in the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God the Father has sent, there is hope, there is forgiveness, there is, as Paul puts it, salvation. And this is what had happened to Paul. He's speaking from personal experience. He let go of the thought that he could save himself. If anybody could save himself, the Apostle Paul could. He says in Philippians, if anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, in regard to the law of Pharisee, as for legal righteousness, faultless. Well, then why wasn't he saved? Because there on the Damascus Road, he came to an awareness that for all his religiosity, for all his what we might call churchianity, he was far away from God. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me, says the risen Lord Jesus. And so here in 1 Timothy 1, far from relying on his righteousness, he describes himself as a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent opponent. But he says this, not only did I come to know my sin, verse 14, the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Perhaps what you need this Christmas are two things. Whatever gifts you receive today, perhaps you need two things more than anything else. You need the Holy Spirit to come upon you to show you your sin. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to show you your sin, he doesn't do so to leave you there wallowing in it. He does so to point you to the Lord Jesus, so that one day you will be able to say, like the Apostle Paul, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ overflowed me with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Our prayer for you this morning is that you would come to see that this saying is meaningful, not only in the sense that it has content, but in the sense that you have come to receive Jesus Christ and can say with the Apostle Paul, I am the chief of sinners, but it was for me that Jesus Christ came. As I close this morning, I'm reminded of a tale my sister told. It's a true story. I was telling one or two people yesterday. My sister has been a midwife. Sometimes she came home from the hospital with incidents that had happened that day. And there was one occasion in which a lady late in labor was rushed into the maternity unit. And the fellow was hot on the heels, and they took her into the ward and began to do all that needed to be done to deliver the baby. And as they began doing whatever midwives do, this man was more curious than any other they had experienced. And as they were round the bed, he kept poking his head in, asking what this instrument was and what they were going to do next and all the things that you women are more familiar with. And to begin with, the midwives were very pleased. They thought, wow, what a husband. But after a while, it became a bit of a nuisance. They were trying to deliver the baby. And eventually, they delivered the baby, and my sister wiped down the baby and said to the man, here, proud father, here's your son. And the man turned round to her and said, oh, love, I'm not the father, I'm the taxi driver. But you know, some of you are like that this morning with the Lord Jesus. He's not my baby. And you wander off, and you do your own thing. But for those who know the salvation of God, you come to embrace not only this saying, but you come to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ of whom the saying speaks. And so in all the myriad of voices around you this day, go your way today saying, this is a faithful saying. It's a trustworthy saying. It's deserving of full acceptance. And you get a part. Go and walk along Lake Michigan. Get a part with God. Ask God for the help of His Spirit. For you to come perhaps for the first time to understand the staggering nature of the gospel, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I tell you, the people who will appreciate Jesus Christ today are the people who can say in their own heart, I am the chief of sinners, but I have the chief of saviors, the only savior, Jesus Christ. And may God bless this Christmas to you with the inexpressible gift of Jesus Christ, his Son. God bless these thoughts. Let us pray. Father, we ask a blessing upon these thoughts. We are mindful that these things are so familiar to us. Come upon us by your Spirit, we pray. And help us to receive not only the saying, but to receive Jesus Christ as the Savior of our souls. Move upon us by your Spirit, we ask, and bring salvation to this place, to these hearers. And may there be rejoicing amongst the angels of heaven, the saints of heaven, and rejoicing on earth as men and women, boys and girls, come today to own up to the fact that they're the chief of sinners. But bless them, we pray, with the chief of saviors, the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Make it so, we pray, for your glory. Amen.